We're going to do the Red Letter series. This is season 5. This is Mark My Words. It's going to be like a stroll in the Gospel of Mark over the next few weeks, writing up to Resurrection Sunday. I don't say Easter because I like Resurrection Sunday. I'm not being prudish. It's just more accurate, you know. Easter comes from another goddess somewhere did something. And Resurrection Sunday is about the only one ever come back for the dead 3 days later, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Resurrection Sunday. First of all, I should introduce myself. There's probably visitors out there today. I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi, the senior pastor of this wonderful, amazing place. Pastor Jody worked great job with the video. She must have been 75 hours putting that together. You know, worship is a topic. I feel like I've got things to say before I speak, and I prayed all week long about some of these things. Please make yourself participate in corporate worship. We hope everyone connects with God at New Season Christian Fellowship, and that's a great opportunity. Like, just lose yourself and give God some adoration. Like no one's around, right? I want to encourage you to do that. Pastor Justin talked about the worship topic last week. It wasn't recorded. It was fantastic, though. It wasn't recorded. It was fantastic. That stuff happens sometimes. Some of the best things, I never listen to myself because I bore me. And my voice irritates me. I don't know how you sit out there every Sunday for 19 years and aren't irritated by me, you know. But I can't handle it, you know. New Season is blessed to be here 19 years at the God track. You know, we pulled in here 19 years ago and my wife cried. She said, "You've been out praying for a week. What is God saying?" I said, "I'm going to show you where we're going to have church." And I could hear her under her breath as we're going down the road. "Please don't turn in there. Please don't turn in there. Don't turn in there. Don't turn in there. Don't. Here we are 19 years later. We did it, you know. God did it. Yeah, so really it's all by his provision and people partnering up, and I just appreciate it. The preacher realizes that I'm supposed to get you out on time. I hope you go to the picnic and you kick it or you chill. This is a picnic. You can kick it or you can chill, you know. You can mingle or you can nap. Yeah, the preacher's like, "What? I can nap. I'll write you a note. You can nap if you want to, you know." I recognize it's way too early to talk about summer stuff. I'm excited about it. I'll cross it off the list. Pastor Justin had let the cat out of the bag. I didn't know he was praying about this, and he did it last week, and I almost wanted to shush him because I wanted to say it. But you ever have that happen? You know, I get excited. "I want to tell you a story," and someone comes in and tells a story. Like, man. You know, come on. Pastor Justin invited everyone who feels led to fast with us to do so. Now, let me give you the actual challenge before you commit to it, all right? And you don't have to commit to it. This is, I want you to hear the Holy Spirit today for your life. So often we're good at church hearing for somebody else, right? Husbands are great hearing for wives. "Man, I know what they are, right? Come on." Husbands like, admit it, right? Wives, have you ever feel like you know what's best for your husband, what God wants him to do? Like, "Pastor, just move on. It's picnic Sunday." First, my fast starts this evening after the picnic. And I want you to pray about joining it because it's going to lead all the way up only a short time to Resurrection Sunday. Not 40 days. Just till Resurrection Sunday. That's easy peasy, right? Yeah, short. Short term. Short term fast. You know, how many days till Resurrection Sunday? How many days? Check Miley for math. She didn't sound real confident, but it doesn't sound long. You know, yeah. But we want to welcome you to fasting and prayer. But this is the fast. You ready to hear what it is? It's not food. It's not food. I'm inviting you to pray about fasting social media and non-Christian music. I thought it was going to be easy. It's not for me. I scroll with the best of them sometimes. You know? And I love to crank up rock and roll and weed my yard. I hate to weed my yard, but you know, rock and roll makes it help. But I want you to pray about replacing your scroll time. 15 seconds. Replace it. Not just like I'm fasting it, but replace it with real prayer. Like instead of going, "Oh yeah, I'm just sitting here on the commode and scroll." No one does that probably. You know, nobody here, not in church, you don't say those things. You know, you just scroll and pray for anything. Like, why pray for anything? Like, there's stuff that needs prayer. If you can't think of something to pray for, I'd love to know the bubble you live in. There is stuff to pray for. But if you don't, you're like, I just get all bogged up. Give me something to pray for. Pray for someone you know. Pray for people you know. Give them extra prayer time. And do what Prophet did. Don't be like, I've been praying. I've had a burden for you, Miley. I've been praying and praying and praying. Something must be going on in your life. She don't need to know you're praying. Just be praying. You know, every time you scroll, don't scroll. Pray. Imagine how much prayer would go out. If you just took 28 days and decided, I'm not going to let social media impact me anymore. I'm not going to let it suck me into my extra time. Nothing wrong with it. But I'm going to replace it with prayer. You know, what's social media? Because, like, I don't know what social media is. Facebook social media. Crickets, man. Just be like, Pastor, don't even look at me. Like, I'm just like, something's in my eye. TikTok, Insta, ESPN News. Okay. Classic rock and roll. I don't know what your social go-to is, but I'm going to ask you to pray about, is God asking you to fast it? Just till Resurrection Sunday. That's it. Pastor Justin did a great job. It was a confirmation to me. I appreciate it. We should worship and adore him in the season we're in, right? That's what he said. I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to see what actions. I want to give you, before I get into these scriptures, this is what I want you to take away today. I'm giving you like the answer to the test, right? Here's the answer. The absolute answer. Are you ready? Jared, you ready for the answer? It's like, Pastor, I already know the answer. Are you kidding me? Don't mess with me this morning. Here's the answer. I want you to seek God for what he wants to do immediately in you. Not someday, but immediately. Say immediately. You're going to see that pop up a lot in the red letters right now. Jesus is on his way to the cross. We're going to follow him there for a little bit. And this is the red letter series. And the reason it was red letters is when I first became a born-again Christian, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I didn't know God. I prayed, but I didn't really know him. You know, I was following things. And then I stopped following the rules, and I started breaking the rules, and I started making my own rules. That was the progression, you know. You're a good little Catholic boy. You're a hellion. What happened? I didn't have Jesus, you know. That's what happened. And I asked for a Bible that had red letters where Jesus spoke, because I just wanted to know what Jesus said. That's just hit me, you know. And then I realized red letters are also warnings. Whenever you see red letters flash up on the highway, it's not like, have a good day. Free ice cream at Joe's. You know, it's nothing like that usually. It's what Jesus says. Say what Jesus says is important, right? So here we are. I know that sometimes we always think someday, we realize in Zephaniah that it comes, right? But then some days always come too quickly. I'll give you an example. Anybody ever raise kids? Wow. Wow, right? You raise kids. Anybody that's ever raised kids, you go, wow, they just grow. You're so real, right? They're just gone. How about you ever go to high school? Some of you are like, yeah, that was like last week. No, it wasn't. That was in the 70s for some of y'all, you know? You remember the 90s? They're over. 60s over, 70s over, 80s, they're over. They flew by, right? Music never caught them up, though, did they? Never caught up to it. Someday seems at times to come kind of quickly. And then there are occasionally times God desires an immediate response, right? So I want you to check him in your life during this season. What immediate thing is he asking of me? Mark 1:1-4 in the Amplified. The beginning of the facts, says in the beginning of the facts regarding the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, say the gospel or facts, as it is written and forever remains, as it is written and forever remains, in the prophet Isaiah, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice shouting in the wilderness. Of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance. Here's a hard thing. Repentance is unskippable. Can't skip repentance. You can't skip repentance. People like to say, well, the sin doesn't exist in the world yet. Jesus died for it. He bore it on the cross. You can't come to God without repentance. So repentance is for the forgiveness of sins that is requiring a change. Anybody feel change being required? Like, I know there's changes. I look at some of those videos, I go, dude, you got to drop some weight. There's some changes, bro. What are you doing? Too much pasta. Pasta pastor right there, you know? Come on. But there's other changes he's requiring, you know? Requiring a change of one's old way of thinking. Is there some old way of thinking that you've been hanging on to and God's trying to go, no more? And you're like, but I love it. It's comfortable. This is how I like to think. I like to be grumpy. I like to be careless and irresponsible. I like whatever your thing is. And it's like, got quiet, right? The people who were non-grumpy were laughing at the grumpy ones, right? And then you throw out their thing and they go, pastor. Requiring a change of one's old way of thinking, turning away from sin, and seeking God and his righteousness. So not just seeking God, but also his ways. It's lovely to have a moment in worship to connect with him and pour your heart out. But it's harder to follow his ways. Sometimes I don't feel like being patient. Sometimes my kindness level is way down here, right? You know, I tell you my problems at Walmart. That's where I'm tested. Jesus went to the desert. I go to Walmart. Repentance first. Get rid of your old ways. Seek God. Seek his way of doing things. Now it's time to hear for the season that we're in. So I really want you to go, when I'm reading these scriptures, put yourself in that moment. Like, try to put yourself in the book, okay, with me this morning. Mark 1:5-8. And all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem were continually going out to him. That's lots of people. And they are needy, constantly needy. Ever notice that? With lots of people, there's lots of people. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan. Baptized as they confessed their sins. That's super uncomfortable. Ever confess your sin to another human? Oh, yeah, you're like, Pastor, no. Raised in the faith I was in, you had to do it once a week from the time I was in kindergarten. Right? And then there was this, if you got in line early, there was this like little booth you could sit in where there's a curtain between you and the priest. I never got there early. Father Adamski, he would sit in the chair like this. Like, you know, and I'm like, kindergarten, what's going on? Confess my sins. I got to tell them that I actually stole the dodgeball. My mom's going to find out. He ain't talking to Jesus. He's going to talk to my mom. You know? It was stressful. But have you ever confessed your sin to somebody that you know loves God, cares about your health, and you feel the pressure of your life fade away? They came to John and said, here they are. John, here's my sin. Sometimes we're more good at hiding it than we are confessing it. They confess their sins. It's time to admit it. Forget it. It exists, right? You can't get freedom from it. Here's the next great verse. John wore clothing. That's good. Say, that's good. You know, it's good he wore clothing. Clothing made of camel's hair and had a wide leather band around his waist. I don't know, like a fanny pack. I'm trying to picture this in my head. John got a fanny pack on. And he ate locusts and wild honey. I guess when it was in the fanny pack, you know. And I started thinking, I walked around the Asian market this week because I was that troubles me that he's eating locusts. Does that ever bother you? Like, that's the thing. That, like, dude, he's eating locusts. Like, that's gross, you know. Locusts. Well, I found out in the Middle East, there's like a snack. Like freeze-dried, salted, like they're a salty snack. You know, we'll pop a snack in there. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're walking to the Asian market, and I realized I see kind of locusts of our time. You can see the most freeze-dried shrimp in a bag, these crusted-up shrimp exoskeletons. Yeah, but if I had to live on that honey, I think I could do that. Grabbing a cricket out of the ground and smashing it, I go, dude, that's tough. I need to have, you know, I felt bad for the guy. I don't feel as bad as I did. That's not important to the message, I thought I'd tell you. And he ate locusts and wild honey, and he was preaching, saying, after me comes he. After me comes he. Comes he who was mightier, more powerful, more noble than I, and I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the straps of his sandals. Say, humble. is a good perspective. Humble is a good perspective. As for me, I baptize you, you who came to me with water. But he will baptize you who truly repent. Who is he baptizing? The truly repentant. You can get wet and still not really be baptized. You can go to a church service and get dunked 4, 5, 6, 7 times and have 4 cakes and still not really be baptized. That needs to sink into our hearts, right? So this is good picnic food. But he will baptize you who truly repent with the Holy Spirit. The 3-in-1 series, you talked about the Holy Spirit, right? Mark 1:9-13. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John by the Jordan. Say immediately. Look at the people on the right. Immediately. Look at the people on the left. Say immediately. Immediately. Get used to seeing immediately. And here's the cool thing. When the Father asks Jesus anything, no matter what, when the Father asks Jesus anything, you know what happens? Jesus immediately responds. There's an immediacy to it. The Holy Spirit should make us more like Jesus. Immediately coming up out of the water, John saw the heavens torn open, then the Spirit, like a dove, descending on Jesus, and a voice came out of heaven, saying, "You are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased and delighted." Pause. The impact of our immediate obedience is God is well pleased. Say squad goal. Squad goal, right? Say immediately. What happened immediately after he obeyed? Immediately, the Holy Spirit forced him out. Forced Jesus out into the wilderness. Why? Maybe he's going to get one of those paid vacations. No, Jesus, but the tour of Galilee, the seaside, a nice little camp out trip with his boys. That'd be easy to obey. And the Lord said, go away for 60 days and camp out in luxury. Lord, I can obey that in a heartbeat. Got to go, everybody. Why? Got to obey the Lord. Sorry. It says he was in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days being tempted by Satan. 40 days. 40 days being tempted by Satan. Can you imagine how hard that was? Imagine if you get tempted more 3 times in a row. Not even by Satan. By Timu. Imagine. Like, I swiped 3 times, and I got to buy that. I need a new ping pong set. It's only $4. But can you imagine how terribly hard it was? You got to do 40 days with Satan himself. Can you imagine? Let that sink in. No one had ever beaten him before. No one had ever overcome the test not to sin. No one had ever done it, and no one's done it since. Say, no until Jesus. No until Jesus. 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels ministered him continuously. I'm thankful that we're never alone, even we can't see him. They're there. There's so many times I look back, didn't know him, should have been dead, and I go, why didn't I? Why? Lord, you must have been, that must have been an angelic moment for me. You know, Mark 1:14-15. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested and taken into custody. Wait a minute. Arrested, taken into custody. Wasn't he doing God's work? That's the result of obedience? Ever feel that way? Ever feel something came your way and you go, wait, I did what you told me to do. You said, go love that guy, give him a hug, tell him I love you. You smacked me right in the mouth. Andrew and I don't play that way. Mm-mm. I was trying to do a godly thing. I'll tell you. Okay. I know a bunch of thugs. You're all a bunch of thugs. I know you, so you can just smile at me. I know you. After John the Baptist was arrested, he was taken into custody for obedience. You know, obedience doesn't always lead to blessing on this earth. You know what it leads to? God well pleased. Isn't that the goal? God well pleased. Jesus went to Galilee. That bothered me for a little bit. Why did that bother me? Because Jesus left his guy wrongfully imprisoned. It bothered me at first. Because I got guys here. I'll break you out. Let's go fight the Romans. Jesus, what's going on? It says, Jesus went to Galilee. Sounds cold. My boy Andrew's in prison. Deuces, bro. You know? Your cousin John. Dude, he's your cousin. He's blood. He's your cousin. You're leaving your cousin in prison like, hey, John's in prison. Well, it's time to go someplace else. What are you doing? Jesus went to Galilee preaching the good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. And he said, the time is fulfilled that the kingdom of God is at hand. Kings arrive now. I make the rules. King arrived now. I make the rules. He just proved it. He won in the desert. No one ever beat him. He proved his lordship, right? So there's a new ruler come. And he says this. Repent. Say repent. Change your inner self. Change your old way of thinking. Regret past sins. Live your life in a way. Point over to these guys. Everybody point over here. Hallie's side. Say, live your life in a way. And then you point over here. Hallie's side. Go, you. Yeah, you live your life in a way. Don't be pointing her out. You guys are nasty on picnic day. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Ever have someone in your life say, I won't do it again. I promise. I'll be so nice. I'll be so nice. Give me a second chance. Give me a third chance. Please. Give me a fourth chance. Right? What? Then at some point in time you go, no, you got to prove it, man. You got to prove it. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life. And I wrote in my notes, say this 77 times. I won't. But seek God's purpose for your life. We are so good at seeking our own purpose. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Doesn't sound like you have a master. Well, it kind of does, but you're it. I know. Picnic Sunday. Seek God's purpose for your life and believe in the good news regarding salvation. Mark 1, 16. And Jesus was walking by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon Peter and Simon's brother Andrew. God uses all sorts of people. But you know the primary people he uses? Those who respond. God used all sorts of people's walks of life, but you know what's commonality of those people? They responded. When Jesus said it, they responded. You feel that theme coming around? I love bros working together, though, right? You ever work with your bro? Man, some of my best jobs in the world paid garbage, but I got to work with my friends. We goofed off, and we made pizzas that were not on the menu. Sure. The mail may have been delayed occasionally. But I like hanging out with my friends, right? Working with your boys is fun, you know. So bros were casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. That sounds like retirement to me. That does not sound like work. Like, guess what we're going to have to do for a living, Jody? We're going to have to go fishing. Dang. Yeah. Good luck, Pastor Larry, on that asphalt. We're fishing. You know, just doesn't sound fair. And Jesus said to them, right in the middle of work, Jesus said to them, follow me. Follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master. All right, you're at work, you know. Jesus pulls up and said, follow me, accept me as your master. Come on. Follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk. So me, analytical me, in the boat would go, so you're saying, leave the life I've built and enjoy and do what I key right now. I built this life. I enjoy this life. I'm working with my bros. Leave and let me give all the complete authority in charge of my life to you. Crazy, isn't it? How many made that choice? Yeah, I made that choice. Leave me completely in charge, Jesus says. And then Jesus says again to the whosoever's right now. I'm wondering if he's saying that to the season that you're in right now in your life. Is he saying something to you about your immediate follow? Breathe. But ask him. Okay. Jesus said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master, your teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk. and I will make you fishers of men. Say immediately. 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 I was like, I'm impressed. Immediately they left their nets. That's why we know their names. Side note. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Sometimes Jesus expects an immediate response. We're good at putting him off, just like my diet. Yeah, I'll wait till Monday of January 1st. Oh, I miss Monday. I'll wait till next Monday. Oh, I'll wait till July, you know. Immediately they left their nets and followed him, becoming his disciples. Say, becoming is a process. It's a process. You're not instantly like, woo, I'm a great disciple. No, that doesn't happen. When you first start a job for the first time, how great are you at it? But then you become better, right? I know I was a terrible husband in the beginning, I feel. I'm like, I don't know, at least I'm a 3 now out of 10. Start off a 0. Climb that ladder, right, Joe? You got to practice. You got to become a husband. You think you know what a husband is, but you don't until you become one and you start becoming one. Any husbands out there want to admit that? It takes a while to become a husband, doesn't it? Not for Christian. He was born a husband. Immediately left and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. So becoming is a process. I wonder how many of us, honestly, Jesus is saying it's time for us to have an immediate response to something. Like, I bet if you close your eyes a second, you probably feel whatever that is. I know what he's asking of me immediately to do, and I've just been procrastinating, right? Mark 1:19. Going out a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, some more guys, he'll turn into key cats later, who were also in a boat, mending and cleaning their nets. Say immediately. Immediately, Jesus called to them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat. Boom, I said, that's rude. I was raised Italian. You don't do that. You don't leave your dad don't even work. You know, you do the work and he gets the credit. That's how it works out in the Italian homes, you know. That seems rude. But Jesus said earlier in the red letters, I know it's way back, but he said stuff like, you can't love your father and mother and lands and plans more than me. You can't. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired hands. And I went, awesome. Love that. Don't leave your dad high and dry. You know, way to be responsible, fellas. They left and went and followed him. Say, becoming. Becoming. Here's a little, if you're a note taker. Now, I know it's picnic Sunday. You didn't even expect a message. You don't have your notebooks out. I forgive you. It's okay. But if you are a note taker, you want to write this down. Becoming starts after responding. Becoming starts after responding. You have to respond first, and then you get to become, right? Becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. Immediate actions are sometimes required. Ever have stuff happen, you just got to do it immediately. Everything stops. You got an immediate thing. Becoming is a process. Consistency, being an example, it's a process. I got to ask parents, if you're a parent, whenever you ask your kid to do anything for you, okay, isn't when they listen the first time always the great? How many like, no, I want to ask them 5 more times before they do? Will you pick up your room? Would you please pick up your room? Don't you love, can you pick up your room? Sure, Dad, I'm on it. You're like, wow, right? Don't we love that? Yeah, as parents, we love it. Don't give me an excuse. Don't sell me an excuse. I can't pick my room up right now, Dad. Why? Summer solstice. You know, I just feel it. I feel gravity's heavier today. You know. Don't have an excuse to sell to God. When he asks for an immediate, he knows. He knows what he's asking. It's like, Lord, you don't know what you're asking. See my schedule? Lord, if you see my schedule, why would you ask me to do that today? I'll drop and follow, but can it wait till I go bury my... Remember? Yeah. Mark 1:21. They went into Capernaum. Say immediately. It's okay to smile when it comes up from now on. You want to make something really creepy? Look at your neighbor and say it slowly. Go immediately. Yeah. She's like, don't look at me. So when he immediately, Julia. Immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And they were completely amazed at his teaching because he was a teacher teaching them, one who having God-given authority. I have to side note here. Have you ever been or sensed or perceived the Holy Spirit speaking through somebody else to you? Isn't that like you can tell, like, my God's here? Like that was, you didn't know, but this, I ain't going to say something to you because you'll mess it up. But God's moving in you right now. There are times in worship I feel that when the singers are singing. I feel like, man, I feel the Holy Spirit in that, you know? They recognized this guy's teaching different. Teaching not as the scribes. It's okay, all Bible school students or scribes and those in seminary. I don't believe the gospel's a career path. I'm going to go to school to become a preacher. I just honestly don't believe that. I know it happens. I'm just telling you, this is my opinion. I believe you have to be called by God to do those things. Because it's a relationship that you're building. We don't need more people parroting sermons they heard in Bible school over and over again. No one needs to. Well, I'll pull up Billy Graham and I'll just quote him. That's great. But that's not what people need. They need someone who has a relationship with God that's willing to dig the word out and present their life, right? That's just my opinion. Jesus understood, obviously, God. And he walked with power and he had fresh manna, right? Mark 1:23 through 28. You know, this is really great. Just then sounds a lot like immediately to me. Right? It's just another way to say like Mark got tired. I can't write immediately all the time. I just got to find some other synonyms, you know? Just then, Jesus' teaching, just then, there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. Let me tell you this, nothing ruins a party like a demon possession. Nothing ruins a party. The first time I ever saw a demonic possession in my life and someone delivered, I was in Romania. No joke. We're walking, this little old lady, she was like a gypsy. It just cute little thing. And she was sitting on the steps of one of those big churches. Like, I felt like, man, this is awesome. You know, I'm going to drop something in her cup and just be like, yeah, I'm on a mission trip. Can I pray for you? And all of a sudden, blah! She starts spinning around and urinating and screaming. And I'm like, where's the pastor? I'm not quite equipped for this moment. Good, you're both here. Demon. Get it. It was amazing to see this woman sitting in her right mind and at peace and crying. It was beautiful, but scary at first. I'm saying, ruin your party. Maybe, how's this? You don't have to raise your hand, but maybe some of you were possessed and delivered from darkness at one point in time. How beautiful is that? A man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out terribly from the depths of his throat. It's okay to say creepy. Right, can you imagine? Because you don't picture it now, like he cried out. Ah! No, he cried out from the depths of his throat, some kind of Hollywood stunt fact. Ah! You know, I don't know, I don't want to do it. But I would go, oh, where's the pastor? I don't want to deal with this. Cried out terribly from the depths of their throat, cried out saying, what business do you have with us, Jesus of Nazareth? And it means like, oh, that's an Italian devil. What business do you have with us? That's how I heard it. Ah, what's the business you have with us, you know? Do you come to destroy us? Is the day here already? He says, I know who you are. I say, bet. That means an old school. No, it means you do. Truth, fact, right? You do. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And then Jesus does this amazing thing. Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet. Cut the grass, devil. Stop the zeal. Shut it down. Be quiet and come out of him. The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions. See, I read this before, so Romania didn't freak me out so much. I went, aha! I said, can I pray for you? He spun around, got crazy voice, started peeing on everything. Probably a devil response. Not a typical hello in Romanian, you know? Convulsions, screeching with a loud voice came out of him. Have you ever seen something like that, seriously? We have had a couple moments in worship before where someone's come in and in the middle of worship, they got delivered. Didn't even lay hands on them. God just did it. It's wonderful. But at the same time, it'll freak you out, right? They were all so amazed that they debated and questioned each other. They say, what is this? What is this? I was working for my dad. I'm following this rabbi. Demon. Demon's gone. What's happening here? Peter, James, John, You know, let's debate this. A new teaching with authority. You could just like, man, this guy's got the good, you know. He commands even the unclean spirits, demons. And what do? They obey him. They obey him. Sickness is going to obey him. Demons are going to obey him. How are we as disciples at it? Say immediately. Immediately, Pastor, that's what we do. Immediately the news about him spread. It spread everywhere throughout the district surrounding Galilee. Mark 1, 29 through 31. Hope you guys are getting hungry. Jody made lasagna. Mark 1, 29 through 31. And immediately, say immediately. Immediately they left the synagogue. I mean, they're hurrying from place to place, right? They're popping. And they went into the house of Peter and Andrew, accompanied by James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And immediately, like, hey, we're going to quick. Immediately, they told him about her. When you find the Messiah and you really find him, you start telling people, you can help it. Sometimes you do it so badly, you just, like, you want everyone to know. Oh, you got to see Jesus did this for me. He wants to do it for you. Hey, man, get off me. I'm in the orange juice aisle. I just want orange juice. No, you got to tell you about Jesus. You talking about Jesus one more time. You're going to need prayer yourself. I'm just excited, you know. Immediately, they told him about her. Jesus went to her, taking her by the hand and raised her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them as her guests. I truly appreciate the adoring heart here in this woman. But it sets more than a pretty heart. As soon as you're healed, you're supposed to serve. He hasn't called us just to be healed. He's called us to take that out. So immediately after she healed, she served him. Isn't that discipleship? Yeah. So recap, you ready? Got healed, then served him. Immediate actions are often required. Now take a minute before we go to the next one. Are you able to think of any immediate changes he may be asking of you? Mark 1, 32 through 34. Because this is an important season. Why does it matter if you don't make the changes in the season you're in, you're going to miss it. If I don't start working out now, I will never make the Mr. Olympia trials. World's Strongest Man is out of the picture if I don't start now, Andrew. Right? But there are things that God's called you to do in your life, and if we don't handle what he's asking of us right now, immediately, later, never works out how we want it to. And we're not pleasing him. And there's stuff that in the body of Christ this season has been procrastinating. Say, I am the church. I am the church. It's not the church is procrastinating. Say, I am the church. So I guarantee you as a human, somewhere he's asking an immediate response from you. I don't know where that is. I know where mine are. Mark 1, 32 through 34. When the evening came after the sun had set, they were bringing to him all who were sick. So sun's down. It's not a 9-to-5 gig, huh, Jesus? And those who were under the power of demons, great, demons at dark. That's what you want. After dark, they brought more demons. I'd rather deal with the demons in the daylight. Can we have demon cast out like 6 a.m. to like 3? Break for a long lunch and then do stuff like later in the night time. Like, oh, you're sad? I can pray for you. No, bring all the demons out at dark. Good. Check this out. Those who were under the power of demons until the whole city had gathered together at the door. I bet the neighbors hated that. Right? Peter's mother-in-law, all of a sudden all the demonic are pouring in next door and they're screaming in deep, loud, crazy voices. And you're like, what? The whole city gathered together at the door and Jesus healed many. Many who were suffering with various diseases and he drove out many demons. But here's a cool part. But he would not allow the demons to speak because they knew him, recognizing him as the Son of God. I'm so different than Jesus in that moment. Everything, so what? Why let him talk? Procrastinate. The other demons should be afraid. We come in town like, well, Jesus is here. We better get out. I'd want him to blast it right away, wouldn't you? Like, that's how I do different things in Big J. Sorry, Big J, I'll take care of this. Demons, you go tell all your pals, they in trouble. Pass a message. Yeah, we'll cut with your demon fingers off. Send it to your boss demon. Tell him Jesus is in town, bro. Jesus said, no, shh. Here's a question. How many know that timing's important? Perfect timing is best. Everybody want this perfect timing in your life for everything. Good timing can be made great, right? With the right timing. Oh, that was good, but on the right timing, it'll be great. How many know this, though? Bad timing can ruin good things. Bad timing can ruin good things. If I would have asked my wife out when I was 18, I'd have been arrested. She'd have been 13. That would have been good. And I wasn't under the master lordship of Jesus. I was really in charge of my own destiny. Bad timing. Right? Anybody else have something really good you're looking forward to and bad timing ruined it? Yeah. Thank you, Jared Bear. Appreciate you, Mark. Ever seen the right thing done at the wrong time? Ends badly, doesn't it? Jesus wanted to go around doing what he wanted to do without the fuss. He didn't want to have to deal with all the things trying to pull him in to do things he didn't want to do. He had an agenda and he was going to keep his agenda, not anybody else's. Right? Mark 1, 35 through 39. We're getting close. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left, and went out to a secluded place. To a secluded place. He bailed in the morning, went by himself to get a minute, and was praying there. And at that point in time, I go, come on, give Jesus a break. Give him some space. Wouldn't you? Just gives you some space. But Simon Peter and his companions searched everywhere, looking anxiously for him. And all I could think of, I didn't put the video up because it's picnic Sunday and I'm already over time. But I want to put this video up. If my daughter Kirsten throws a ball into one room and then goes hides before Malo, her dog, gets back and he can't find her, he loses his mind. He checks four rooms twice that he knows she's not in and makes, he's weeping and wailing. She's been gone 4 seconds. And he knows, he's got to know she's somewhere in the house. We have teleportation. She's here, you're a dog. Sniff her out. It's gone. This is the disciples. Jesus is gone. Let's go find him. You know, they're after him. And they found him. They found him and said this, everybody's looking for you, man. Hey, Jesus, we got lots of gospel work for you to do in this town, so come on back. You know, he replied, no, let's go on. Go on to the neighboring towns, so I may preach there also. That's why I came. That's why I came from the Father. So he went throughout Galilee preaching the gospel in their synagogues and casting out demons. Need is not what drives God. That's hard to hear. There's need all over the world. Need doesn't drive God. Only God drives God. Only his plan. But we're always run by need. Need is always going to be there, and we're called to fill needs. But if you're need-driven and not God-driven, you're going to burn out quick. Mark 1, 40 through 44. Help me, Jesus. And a leper came to him, highly contagious and unclean social pariah. A leper came to him, begging him and falling on his knees before him, saying, if you're willing, you are able. If you're willing, you're able to make me clean. And then Jesus, who is way better than me, moved with compassion. Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him, which is a no-no, and said to him, I'm willing to be cleansed. And the leprosy left him when? Immediately. Demons obey immediately. Disease obeys immediately. The third D in disciples, we got to work on that one. Our obedience isn't even as good as the demons sometimes, Drew. What up with us? Lord, why you pick me? I'm a ninny muggins. Say, need it immediately. Demons obey quick. Disease obeys quick. We're working on it, Pastor. Let's get to the park. And he was cleansed. And Jesus admonished him sternly, saying, admonished him sternly and sent him away immediately. Like, get out of here. Saying to him, tell no one anything. Tell no one anything. Sometimes God says to go tell everybody everything. And then sometimes he says, tell no one anything. And here's the big fact. Anything he says, we should just do it. It's not Nike didn't take that marketing. That's Jesus. Do it. Well, Jesus said to be quiet here, then be quiet. And he said to go tell here, go tell there. That's the master thing. And they're learning how to become disciples. And if we don't get it down this year, the world's going to suffer. There are things you've been called to do that it's the season that you start doing it because the church and the world is suffering because there's some things he's wanting to do in us. He left us here not to stagnate. There's some of the most amazing people in this world. And I believe God wants to send you to other people who are just like you, who had no idea who he is and needs exactly what you needed. This is your season. But if we don't respond ourselves, we'll never get there. And this is the season that we call Lent, right? The building up to resurrection. We examine ourselves wide. Oh, I'm terrible. Should put that Jell-O down. No. This is the season to go, Father, what do you want from me? What is it you're asking of me? I'm ready to respond immediately, right? But show yourself to the priests only for the purification of what Moses said is proof to them. Obeying doesn't always make sense, does it? Lots of times it doesn't. But if he says, don't tell anyone, then say, want some Italian? Say, state, zit, and shut up. If Jesus says, don't say it, don't say it. But I want to. I want to call that person out. There it. Jesus didn't tell you to do that, so don't do it. Go over and talk to that person right now in the park. Well, I'm supposed to be over here playing horseshoes. Lord, I preached, you know, I'm supposed to play some shoes. I'll let Andrew go tell him. I only sent you to the park for that guy today. And his life's going to be ruined if you don't move your butt immediately. Father, help me respond that way. Right after this ringer, Lord. No, right now. Mark 1:45, we're ending right here. The longest sermon ever preached on an anniversary. But I really wish they would put in here, in the Amplified, if I was writing the Message Bible, I would put the dude didn't listen. But the dude didn't listen. He went out and began to proclaim it freely. Jesus just told him, don't. Jesus just said, don't. And he spread the news to such an extent that Jesus could no longer openly enter a city. Say, come on, man. And Jesus could no longer openly enter a city, but had to stay out in unpopulated areas. And the unpopulated people, no, there were people. It's just like, well, he gets a break. You know, he's out camping, right? He stayed out in the unpopulated places, say, yet people. Yet people were still coming to him from everywhere. No lodging anymore, no easy food access, but all the needs are still the same. That's why Jesus said, don't. Don't make my job harder. Just do what I ask you to do immediately. Right. You want to come up? Oh, you look, you want to say something. You sure? Okay, all right, just check in. So during this red letter series, Jesus' words and his speech to us, I believe it demands a response. And there's only two kinds of responses we're supposed to have Jesus, immediate and obedient. Only ask for two. Now, I know sometimes we just casually drag him around with us, but I don't know if he's asking you to drop a ton of stuff, and I don't know what he's asking of you. But if there is anything in your life, and it could be scary, if he's asking you of immediately, and you know it's him, no matter how scary he is, give it up or do it, because that's your breakthrough, man. That's that point where you start becoming something you thought you never could be. That's the point faith starts to rise when you give him those moments. I remember some of those moments. You remember some moments you first found him and he asked for stuff. You're like, what? That's my Led Zeppelin collection, bro. That took me so long. My friends already think I'm nuts. Going to church and raising my hands. Like, you're crazy. And you sold what and put it in the offering? Man, I don't even want to talk to you anymore. And they left me for stuff like that. My friends left me because I sold Led Zeppelin and put it in the offering. Changed my life forever. I started giving God things I didn't want to give him. It was really hard. And somewhere along the lines, we stopped doing that immediately. And I don't know if that's you, but if he's asking something you immediately, I'd like to pray for you and then send you to the park. All right. You can stand, jump, run, put your hand up. I'm not going to call you out. I don't know what your immediate is, but you do. And I'm proud of you for knowing it. Maybe you don't even know who he is. And he said, I want to show you myself and come to me because I want to take the burdens off you. Or you've been struggling with some kind of addiction that no one knows about or some kind of past thing. And it tears you up every day of your life. Every day you suffer. Today's your immediate. Father God, I thank you that you move immediately like you do in people's lives today. I don't know what they decide to give up to you. I don't know if they're going to fast. I don't know what their plan is, Lord God. But right now, there's a room of individuals. And they call themselves the church. And we want to go do things for you and set people free. But we're needing freedom ourselves this year. So Lord, do in us what we can't do in ourselves. And help us to respond immediately. In Jesus' name, amen.